Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Michael.
I'm Noah.
We are the Knights of Entertainment, a podcast covering your favorite and unknown movies, games, comic books, anime, and more weekly. We appreciate you being here and hope you enjoy the show. This is our 100th episode, so thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And let's go ahead and get started.
We'll see you in 1,000. All right, guys. Well, guess we're back to Cozy Nights. I thought I was dead, but you can't kill a zombie. Unless you go for the head, and I missed. So, as you know, Cozy Nights usually is a little bit of news, a little bit of kitchen stuff, and then at the end, we just bullshit. I probably shouldn't have said that already, because now we're demonetized the first minute in. Whatever. So we start with some news. I got this from the Oklahoman, because I'm old, and I read the newspaper like an old man. You got the morning paper? Please. I can't work on these newfangled phones. But I just like having the newspaper. So I got this from the Oklahoman, but it's... They got the story from the USA Today, and it was written by Zachary Schmermiel. I'm sorry. I don't know how to spell his name. It's S-C-H-E-R-M-E-L-E. Schmermiel, I guess, maybe. But the story basically is that now schools are having another problem, aside from the obvious problems they already have.
Yeah.
With, like, bad education, like funding and, you know, the other stuff with the pew-pews. And
pew pew lie,
not only that, and they got that and that, right? And not only them having also the fact that when they leave school, they're going to come into a world of absolute, like, grind, where you got to work like 18 jobs just to pay your a rent, because you can't even afford a house. So they got all those problems happening for them, right? On top of that, now they now have deep fake AI nude photos of them being circulated throughout the school. So basically, it's these poor young girls having boys deepfake their videos and then passing them around school. And I'm like, God dang, it just never ends for them, huh?
Yeah.
Kids be going through it nowadays.
Because in general, my thoughts have always been like cyberbullying. Mm-hmm. Just turn it off. If you're on a website and they're making fun of you, that's one thing. Like where they're saying mean things to you, quote unquote. You can turn off the computer, that's fine. But if they're sending around deep fake
nude photos of you, you're like, and you're
under, a little different.
Plus, you're underage, so
yeah,
that's basically child pornography.
I don't even think, I was going to say, I know that most of those AI websites and stuff, they try to prevent any of that.
They don't try to prevent nothing. It's AI deep fakes will let you do anything.
No, not the deep fake ones. I'm saying like the actual like AI creation tools and stuff.
Yeah.
You can't use the word young. You can't use like certain age groups. Like it will not let
what am I just saying? Not old.
They'll probably say, can't use that.
Okay. What's another?
super creative.
Yeah. Creative. It's not even like that I would want to. It's like, don't you tell me what I can't do. Because I remember I was playing Kingdom Hearts,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't put dirty... They make you name your ship, and you can't give it dirty words, right?
Yeah.
Because it knows all of them. I'm like, oh, some game on then. So I spent 45 minutes trying to figure out something obscene to say, and I broke it.
Yeah, but it took some time.
Yeah, but that's all I need is time.
Yeah, but these high school kids ain't got that.
I'm basically Batman. All I need is prep time.
No, but see, here's the thing, though. You have an attention span for that kind of stuff. Kids now, it's every 45 seconds, they're constantly going on to something new.
I guess. Or maybe that's just something that parents tell you about kids.
No, I
feel like every generation before always has something bad to say about the generation after.
No, I have things bad to say about both generations after and before. And the only reason being is that I work with... kids, well, not kids, but people right over the age of 21 in my type of business.
An old man in this day and age.
Yeah, these people don't have attention span at all. It's like, I'm riding with them.
Well, I don't have an attention span. What are we talking about, actually?
I said for certain things.
For everything.
Yeah, that's true. That's why we're back to Cozy Nights.
That is true. So, basically, the story starts off in Illinois high school, and this girl finds out that there's deepfakes about her, and the principal calls her in, and she was a 22nd student. He had to call in about this incident. So there was 21 before her that were told that, hey, there's some photos about you being, you know, so I'm like, God dang, that principal must have been going through it. I would hate to be a teacher in this day and age.
Yeah, imagine the deepfakes they make of them.
Oh, yeah, they said there was for teachers, too. Like, dang, huh? Dang.
Yeah, I could think of one teacher that they would have been doing that too.
Yeah.
When we were in high school.
At least we didn't talk about her like they did.
Yeah, no.
All of the other students were like, they got thrown under the bus by the women's student.
All it took was one class trip.
That's what you guys get for talking dirty. I always kept to myself.
Keep your pervy thoughts to yourself.
Basically. I'll still be in jail. No. I don't know. Deepfakes. I mean, like, I understand the curiosity of wanting to know what someone looks like naked. Yeah. Like an ingrained human thing, right? Because of clothing. Like, oh, I wonder what that person looks like naked, right? But like to go on a computer, be like, you know, to write the whole, like, okay, you got to make her give her bigger titties, and I'm like, you come on, calm down.
See, I think that's some of the allure though, is like as an adult, when you're looking at a woman, them not being automatically nude, it makes your mind go more. Like, depending on what kind of clothes they're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, if, like, with OnlyFans, right? I've never found that any kind of attractive just for the plain fact. It's like, well, here it is. Like, there's no mystery. There's no nothing. It's like, just boom.
I'm the opposite. I'm like, here's my money. Shoot me more.
Over here, simping.
So I am the thirstiest man that's ever lived, okay? You have no idea.
Just over here, desert.
Bit in my mouth, please.
You're going to find one girl that will do that?
Then that would be like, oh, no. No.
Can you just walk away with your head down?
Basically, yeah. One of those things where you're like, you're always the one talking, and then when it actually gets serious, you're like, oh, fuck. Uh-oh.
It's like, oh, no, I'm good. No, I'm just all talk now.
Basically, yeah. I'm all talk. I'm no business. All right, so that's all the stories I had for news, because I wasn't going to do Cozy Nights at all.
But I do have one to add to that.
Ooh.
Well, two, technically. One to do with the deep.
Oh, by the way, the cozy news, not the cozy news, but it's going to be called the Odd News Report. So it's Cozy Nights, the overall.
Yeah.
Then we go to the Odd News Report, then Cozy Kitchen, and then the very end is just the, you know, what springs to mind.
With deepfakes, did you ever see that YouTuber? Or maybe Twitch streamer, where his girlfriend caught him.
Yeah.
Looking at
Pokimane and all them.
Looking at one of his friends' deepfake.
Yeah, his coworker, Pokimane. Yeah. And he had to do an apology, like, quickly. He had to do an apology, like, fucking Bill Clinton, standing in front of the podium, like, God dang it. All right. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
If she knew what. I don't know if you'd have seen that or not.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I remember that.
But that was a problem then with deepfakes.
Oh, yeah. I guess it was a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
And now even, it's like, imagine what they've got now with AI.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope it's not that bad.
And then the other one to do with the AI for you is, did you see that the scandal going around with DC Comics and AI?
Mm-mm.
There's an artist that has a new, I think it's part of that Joker series that you were talking about.
The anthology?
I think. It's to do with Joker regardless, but I don't know if it's the same anthology, though. But people are accusing him of using AI to generate the comic book images.
Because
mm-hmm. They looked at his old work, and it looks nothing like it. In the new comics, he's posted a couple of things to Instagram, and he has this comic book with the same art style, right?
Yeah.
But the hands are fucked up, and then, like, Joker's missing a nipple. Oh. Weird. Like, just random things. Just random. Like, huh. And when people have run those images through the AI detection software, it comes back as having AI artwork in it. So if DC is trying to sell people AI artwork, we're in the, it's like DC was already going downhill in comic books, but we're at a totally different level with that. Like, I could create Batman comic books with AI art.
That'd be cool. I get the shit suit out of it.
Exactly. But I'm not going to pay for a computer-generated, no artistic input really at all besides make it look like this.
Isn't that what CGI is?
Yeah, but you have to go through a bunch of... You can't just tell it to do something.
Okay.
Like, you actually have to put some effort into it.
Man, if I was an artist, right, you know what I would do? I would deepfake a deepfake. That way, like, I would pretend it's a deepfake. And post it, and I never acknowledge it. And every time I try to run it through the thing, like, and this is real art. They're like, what the fuck? The hands are all fucked up. And like, yeah, that's right. I got you again. Be the worst artist ever.
Just put up stick.
I would be making deep fake fakes. I'd just be like, I'm on a whole different level than you people. You don't even understand what I'm capable of.
I beat the AI.
I beat you. I beat everybody. No way. 2020 president. 2024 president. Vote for me.
Just write it in.
I'll model myself after the greatest president's ever lived, Theodore Roosevelt.
You go out there and just start bare knuckle boxing.
You bare knuckle fucking people in the fucking White House lawn. Like, who wants to fucking go?
Go out there and start hunting some shit.
God, I love that man. No homo, I love that man. My favorite president.
What's funny is that we had Theodore Roosevelt, then they had Churchill, and they were both kind of the same type of people.
They were just built for that world and war. I guess they were built for their times, but man.
They both smoked a shit ton. They both drank a lot.
If I remember right, Abraham Lincoln's like 301 in wrestling. Like, he just fucking spent days just fucking choke-slamming people. Man, they were built different back in the day.
Yeah.
And Theodore got shot. And he's like, I don't know if you guys understand, but I just got shot. So I'm trying to be brief. And he had a 45-minute speech again. All right. So moving on to the cozy kitchen. I ordered 3 books from Amazon for food history. So I can, we can delve into like the actual, like just the historical eateries, I guess. And right. Like just how processes and stuff. But I don't have those books at the moment. So the best story I have at the moment is the fact that there's 30,000 variations of the apple. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
30,000?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And I was like, bad. So when we have a more of a set and a space and a video recording and live stuff like that, we're going to eat 30,000 apples. Not in one city.
Just have the shits for days.
Just like every video we'd have like, now let's try 5 new apples. We'll probably be so fucking pissed off at apples after 1,000.
You'd be like, I hate the fucking company too.
I can't stand apples.
You just that.
Give me a fucking Samsung.
You just take it. That's not the name Apple.
It just fucking makes you. Your old one, regular vinegar or apple vinegar?
I will say one of the coolest ones that I've tried is down there from the Grapevine Farmer's Market.
Mm-hmm.
They were selling apples that they're red on the inside. Like all the way through. Yeah.
Are you still alive? Yeah. That sounds fucking scary. If I bit into a motherfucking apple and it just came back red.
They kind of have, they almost have like an orange taste to them. Apple and orange.
Really?
Yeah.
What fucking man-made horrors are we making?
You don't want to know.
Apples that are red on the inside.
Yeah, or pink.
What if they were white on the outside? If they got flipped it.
I'm sure they exist.
I know that the rarest apple is it's purple and like white on the inside, and it tastes like cream soda or something. I can't remember if that's true or not.
Oh, really?
But it's like up in like Tibet. Like it's like they can barely cost like 20 grand an apple or something.
Oh, my God.
I might be joking on that part, but
I mean, it wouldn't be surprising.
But like, they're so rare and they're so hard to make that they're just like, they're like purple. They're like deep purple and like really bright white when you bite into it.
Yeah.
And I forgot what they're called, but they're the rarest apples in the world. Huh. And, when we have the money, we'll buy some.
Yeah. See, they're called Lucy apples.
Lucy apples. They are red as fuck. Look at that.
Yeah, they had those down there in Grapevine's Farmer's Market.
We should try those next time if you get a hold of some.
Like I said, they're good.
Let me look up the rarest apple. Rarest. Not terrorist.
They get me on some watch list.
No. What the fuck? Are you hitting the T? Rare.
You just hit me on some watch list where it's like, terrorist apple.
It knew it like immediately. The black diamond apple.
Oh, the black diamond apple?
Yeah. It doesn't look purple. Maybe I was wrong.
Huh. It's from China?
Yeah.
Well, Tibetan region.
Yeah. I was like, we got to try that someday.
From Yingqi.
And then type in price. See what it gets.
Oh, gosh. Let's see here. The most expensive apples. The Sekai Ichi apple is considered the world's most expensive apple variety, costing about $20 per apple.
It's not bad. I mean, that's $20, though, for one apple. People flip out when it's like a fucking $1.19 a pound for Honey Crisp.
Yeah. Like, that's
pretty expensive for a single apple.
For a single apple? Yes.
It's still, you know, it's still not that expensive. No. It was like $2,000 for this one apple. Like, what, does it cure cancer too?
It might. people.
Yeah, we'll be covering all of food history for sure. We're going to try that delicious Elvis Presley sandwich, you remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had a pound of jam and the pound of peanut butter and a pound of, it was a full jar of peanut butter, a full jar of jam, and a pound of bacon. And people wonder how he died. He died because his fucking organs gave up on him.
The black apple, very ancient variety, is, I think that's the one you were talking about.
There it is, yeah.
$249.
Holy shit. That's an expensive boy.
Yeah, that's a little.
I better fucking jizz the minute I take a bite for that much fucking money. What if you buy and you're like, this is fucking disgusting. And you eat the whole thing of $200 and stuff.
Just sit there.
Just eat it out of fucking spite.
That would be funny.
It would be. All right, so we move on. We keep on with the cozy kitchen. We have a few recipes from Women's World. Hey, man, they got the recipes for days.
Usually sweets.
And they have a ton of junk food, like cupcakes and pies. And I'm like, where's the food? So I found this guy by the name of Jamie and some of his recipes. Jamie's satisfying five-ingredient meal.
Oh, God, is that Jamie Oliver?
I don't know. Jamie Oliver? For now. This is Jamie. Oh, yeah, it is Jamie Oliver. From Star Chef Jamie Oliver.
This may not taste good, then, just so you know. Uncle Roger would tell you all about Jamie Oliver.
So he fuck up that ice. So he's got Herbie steak and crispy potatoes. That's a good meal right there. So he wants 1 pound red skin potatoes, 1 10-ounce sirloin steak, 6 teaspoons fresh green pesto or pisto.
Pesto.
How do you say pisto?
Pesto.
It's still pesto?
Yeah.
They're both pesto. P-E-S-T-O, and then the other one's P-I-S-T-O-U.
Pesto?
There you go, pesto. I'm like, that's not pesto.
It's going to taste like pesto.
6 ripe medium mixed colored tomatoes, 3/4 ounce shelled unsalted pistachios. I'm not really liking this. I'm not liking this at all. Then he just writes staples. Then he writes the word staples.
I don't know what that's fucking staples.
Oh, yeah, like it just says staples. Sea salt, black pepper, red wine, vinegar, and olive oil. What do you mean staples?
Like something that are generally used in that type of a dish.
At what amounts? There's no amounts on this.
Just put it in there.
Famous last words.
Just put it in there.
Yeah, we like
literally.
You see, like the fucking like they're at the nuclear power plant, and they're like, "So should we put this bar of thing in here?" Like, yeah, just put it in there. And fucking bitch, it blows up.
They go with so many things. And it's like, I ain't got any protection. Yeah, just put it in there.
9 months later, you let him hit it wrong. Now you're a single mom.
It doesn't ever end well when you just say, "Just put it in there," for anything.
The doctor's like, yeah, just put it in there. All right, so he says, scrub potatoes, chop into 3/4 chunks, then place in large non-stick skillet on medium heat with 2 tablespoons of olive oil and season with sea salt and black pepper. How much?
To your taste.
I hope so.
Pour the whole fucking
thing. I got terrible taste. I've still got to learn how to be a chef. I can't cook shit.
Just give it to somebody and just salt.
Just fucking fill my palm with salt and just dump it in there. Fry 20 minutes or until golden and cooked through, stirring regularly, then transfer the bowl. Put skillet back on high heat. So cut the fat off the steak.
The fat's a good part.
I don't know, man. Ask James Oliver. So cut the fat off the steak, then roughly chop the fat and place in the skillet to render.
Okay, so he still uses it then.
I guess so. Generously seasoned steak, rub all over with two teaspoons of pesto.
Okay, so he'll tell you the exact amount of pesto, but he won't tell you how much salt or pepper.
I guess not. And cook for 3 minutes on each side for medium rare, or to your liking. Remove to a plate to rest. Rest from what? He's fucking exhausted. Return the potatoes to skillet to warm the through, while you can slice the tomatoes 1/2 inch and arrange on serving plates. I never liked food arrangement. I just dump that shit. Let me eat it. Like, I like when they do, like, okay, I get the that's their culture, right? The chef culture, where there's going to be, like, perfectly placed leaves on a plate. And I'm like,
no. Well, if you're going to a restaurant, you're paying $200 for a meal. The shit better look nice.
I mean, as long as it's edible to me.
It's one bite of something.
I'm so disgusting that if you just dumped all my food into a bowl like a pig straw. As long as I can eat it. That's what I tell women. As long as I can eat it.
Don't care what it look like, pig slot.
It look like pig slot. So what are you doing? Oh, so dress and splash of red wine vinegar and drizzle of extra virgin olive oil. And season two. What is extra virgin olive oil? What does that mean?
It's the first pressing of olive oil.
Okay. And drizzle extra virgin olive oil and season to perfection. Spoon over potatoes, then slice and divide up steak, pouring over any resting juices. Spoon over the remaining pesto. Where's the pisto? Or pistio. Okay. I'm like, where's pistio at? I just realized. Spoon the remaining pesto, then bash and scatter over the pistachios. I forgot about the pistachios. Finish with a drizzle of extra olive oil if you like. Serving two. You know, for you and your significant other. Active time, 30 minutes. Total time, 30 minutes. He won't tell me any nutritional value. So that's what I'm worried about.
Because there's no nutritional value.
What about the steak and potatoes? He's got another one here called the Epic. I don't know if this is his, though.
Yeah, it is. They're both his.
Okay. The Epic Shrimp Beans. Let's have a look at that. All right, so Epic Shrimp Beans. He wants 6 ounce sourdough bread. So we're off to a rough start, because sourdough bread is fucking disgusting to me. What's it good for?
You can make sourdough loaves. You can make sourdough rolls.
But what do you eat sourdough with? Bread.
Anything.
Because I tried to have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Okay, it would not be good in sourdough bread.
I learned that the hard way.
Soup.
Ah.
Like if you're having like a deli sandwich.
Okay.
That type of thing.
So I just picked the wrong choice.
Yeah.
Sourdough peanut butter. I can already tell you.
it'd be like getting raisin, brown sugar raisin bread and using it for like a ham sandwich.
Oh. That would be fucking disgusting. We should try that. What?
I want to see you falling everywhere.
We should try the sourdough peanut butter jelly sandwich and a raisin bread ham.
And then the way they're supposed to taste.
You're like. All right, so.
See, that's almost as bad as people that put raisins into potato salad. It just does not go in there.
Fucking gross. So we got 6 ounce sourdough bread, 10 ounce raw peeled extra jumbo shrimp. By the way, jumbo shrimp, tiny shrimp, it all looks small at the end when they're cooked. I'm going to be dead serious with you. I've never had a big, you know, the big pieces of shrimp from Golden Corral.
Yeah,
I've never had those. I would go to the Walmart and buy those jumbo shrimp, right? I cook them, and they look the tiniest. Am I doing something wrong?
They just all come out burnt and black.
They just all come out like fucking minuscule. 6 cloves garlic thinly sliced. A lot of garlic. 6 cloves garlic thinly sliced.
What?
Dude, I gotcha. 1 15-ounce canned cannoli beans and 1 tablespoon harissa or rosa harissa. What is harissa? Fuck. He also has staples. You need your staples again.
Salt, pepper,
olive oil. Sea salt, black pepper, olive oil. This man loves red wine vinegar and fucking olive oil.
That's why he's called Jamie Oliver.
Wait, that's why this shit is fucking 5 ingredients. It's fucking same 5 bullshit. Because there's like fucking 18 things on here. Oh, Jamie Oliver, you fucking liar.
That's why Uncle Roger calls him Jamie Olive Oil. Because he puts olive oil into fried rice.
It fucking seems like it. So he says, slice the bread into 1-inch cubes. mean, look at this picture. 1-inch cube. Place in a large non-stick skillet. And I like how they have to tell you non-stick. Like, okay, because like, I want my food sticking to the bottom of my fucking pan.
But then again, if you use a cast iron that's been seasoned, it's non-stick. So...
It shouldn't be implied that you don't want it to stick.
You would think.
So they're always like, no, make sure these don't stick. Like, yeah. I would hate for my eggs to stick to the bottom of my fucking thing. And non-stick skillet on a high heat and toast until golden, turning regularly. Meanwhile.
So you want some toasted sourdough?
What is that? It's like, oh, Lord. Meanwhile, devein the shrimp, place in a bowl with 1 tablespoon olive oil and a pinch of sea salt and black pepper. Now, that a pinch, I understand. It's a literal pinch. Take your fucking fingers and pinch it.
With no flavor.
Then peel and finely slice the garlic, add to the shrimp, and toss together. Who has a lot of garlic? Tip the beans into a saucepan, juices and all. Add the harissa. I don't know what the fuck harissa is. Then cover and simmer gently 5 minutes or until thickened, stirring occasionally.
Right.
As soon as the bread is golden, tip the contents of the bowl into the skillet. Add a splash of red wine vinegar. There it is, red wine vinegar.
Harissa is a hot chili pepper paste.
Cool. This is going to be hot. It's a hot boy. Then cook for 2 minutes or until shrimp are just cooked, tossing regularly. Taste beans and season to perfection. Then divide between plates, top with the shrimp and crispy croutons. Croutons too, huh?
That's what the sourdough got turned into.
Okay. Serving
sourdough croutons.
So, serving 2, active time 20. That's a lot of just 2 people. Or just 1 fat guy like me.
2 servings.
2 servings one time. Active time 20 minutes, total time 20 minutes. So it only takes you 20 minutes to make this. But man, there's a lot of beans. A lot of fucking garlic.
So you're going to have bad breath and the shits.
Yeah, no kidding.
Cool. I think.
These two are his?
I think.
Yep, staples of staples. You know it's his. Let's see, pot roast chicken or lemony arugula farfel. I don't know what that is. It looks like a fucking salad. Is that? That is green fucking pasta. These all come from his book, James, with 5 Ingredients, Mediterranean, Simple and Incredible Food.
Yeah, don't buy that book.
Michael does not like James Oliver.
No.
I don't blame him.
Nah. No, your breath is going to smell like garlic and not even in a good way. Like, it's not something that
enhances the flavor.
Right. For instance, it's not like garlic shrimp. How there actually is a garlic shrimp.
Good.
He's putting it over beans and putting it. It's like.
And fucking red and white. I'm fucking plastered.
And even if he's getting these from like a Mediterranean style thing, like with olive oil and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're not using red wine vinegar for all this shit.
Yeah, but he loves it.
Those are the 5 staples. Salt, pepper.
Yeah, it's his 5 staples are basically, let me see.
Salt, pepper, olive oil.
It's sea salt, black pepper, red wine vinegar, and olive oil. What's this? Only 4. James Oliver, you only have 4 staples.
But he calls it 5?
That is only 4. Because on this one, it's just sea salt, black pepper, olive oil. This one's sea salt and olive oil. There is no 5.
It's already locked. He can't count either.
Weird. It's not, unless it's something else we're missing, but there's no 5.
It could be part of his other.
It could be considered the top thing, or maybe the actual food.
Maybe. That'd be way more than 5.
Yeah, like that's like you got potatoes, you got pesto, you got tomatoes, you got pistachios, you got the steak, and the. I mean, like, goddamn.
It's not 5.
Wait, hold on. Let me count. Potato, steak, pesto, tomatoes, pistachios. Oh, it is 5.
But not for everything, is it?
Sourdough, shrimp, garlic. Cannoli beans, harissa. Yeah, it's 5.
Oh, is it 5?
Well, look at that. He was right. Farfel, arugula, lemons, Parmesan cheese, pistachio. God damn, pistachios. Whole chicken, potatoes, parsley, garlic. Yeah, but it is 5 ingredients. All right.
Yeah, but that's not the same 5 ingredients. He made it sound like it was the same 5.
I thought it was 2, but I guess not. So the staples aren't considered part of the ingredients, but they kind of are, though.
Yeah. So there's not technically 5 ingredients.
Not
recipe
right.
Standard.
But I guess because staples are considered like you always have them present. Like you'll always have pepper and salt.
You won't have red wine vinegar.
I do. I'm an alcoholic.
I think you can only drink vinegar. You get no alcohol from it.
I don't know why I can't get drunk.
My stomach's always bubbling.
Got them bubble guts for days. There's nothing worse in this life than to get bubble guts in public.
Oh.
And then someone hears it.
Look at you. You need to use the restroom, don't you?
And then they're like, the power of Christ. Or when you get really, really bad gas, you gotta hold it, but you hold it so often that if I like the last one just like
starts talking to you.
Yeah, like it starts just growling. I'm like, man.
You need to release me.
Oh, I say that because I have bubble guts now. Just from thinking about this food.
Are they giving you bubble guts?
I got empathetic bubble guts. Next week, we will talk about a bit more stuff like the Singapore sling and the vermicelli spring rolls. I love me some spring rolls.
Spring rolls are very good.
Maybe some orange cupcakes, but man, there's so much dessert on here.
And actually, to be fair, sometimes I'd rather have a spring roll than an egg roll.
Yeah.
They're fresh. They're good. Mostly like during the summertime. Because, I don't know, like for me, I don't know about for you, but like deep fried foods in the summer, sometimes it's like, you look at the grease of it and it's like.
Even like soda when it's really hot, like usually it doesn't hit like water does.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want that. A spring roll, though, in the middle of summer, it's cold, it's good.
Nice.
It doesn't dry out your mouth.
Unless you eat it like I do.
You just
eat them whole. All right, guys, so that's it for Cozy Nights number 11. We'll be back next week for number 12. As always, my new outro is always stay well-informed and well-fed. Adios.
All right, what you got for Urban Dictionary today?
All right, let's see what we got here.
What horrors do we have from the Urban Dictionary?
What did light making a bestow upon the masses?
What wisdom does Urban Dictionary have?
Watermelon sugar.
You've heard of this from the Jonas Brother?
No, this is...
Watermelon Sugar High?
The name for a type of... I guess so, because this is what it is. The name for a type of street heroin that originated in southern Georgia in the late 1990s.
Yeah.
It's famous for its initial fruity taste and originally placed under one's gums. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's why that which Jonas Brother was it? Where he's got that song, Watermelon Sugar High?
Well, I guess he knows. Did they grow up in Georgia?
No, I don't think so.
They seem to know if they knew what water sugar.
Didn't the other one have that song, Cake by the Ocean?
I don't know. I don't know anything about the Jonas Brothers.
I worked with a dude that listened to pop music all the time, and that's all I got to hear. So, yeah.
Michael's looking up where they live.
Harry Styles. That's who it's from.
Okay.
From One Direction.
They all split up in different directions.
Yes, they did. And only one of them stayed famous.
Next up is the goat. Someone with the ability to sleep standing up, especially when working the 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift. Typically, this person becomes offended when you wake them up.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can sleep standing up.
Yeah, it's hard to do, but you can do it.
Is it?
You can train yourself to do it.
That'd be wild.
Just
fucking nod off and you wake up. Next up is a penis purchase. Something you only buy while wielding a raging stiffy. Examples include porno subscriptions, video games with hot girls on the cover, marriage, etc. So basically it's something you do when you're, you know, in the mood. Something you would not buy otherwise.
Yeah.
You wouldn't buy a fleshlight just to have it.
It's like you buy it and then you use it and then it's like, uh-huh.
Then you just feel like a fucking disgusting. Like, what am I, a fucking animal? Next time is Burlington, Massachusetts. I think is where it is. It's MA. I don't know if it's Massachusetts or it's not Michigan for sure.
No, I think it's Massachusetts.
So the worst place to live is Burlington, Massachusetts, apparently. Seems like a nice town until you live there for a long time starting as a child. There is nothing to do here. Drugs and alcohol are very easily accessible, especially to kids in high school. The high school is jail and the teachers are ridiculously awful.
Oh, so Oklahoma City.
Maybe.
It's the same thing. When you grow up in a city like Oklahoma City, it's kind of like that. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not like growing up in a little town. Not necessarily for drugs. But for stuff to do, anyway. There are some things to do in Oklahoma City. But once you lived here your whole life, there's not a lot.
I just make my own fun.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why the cops come at you. Still looking for me.
Oh, if
I didn't know I couldn't skydive off the Devon Tower. How was I supposed to know?
Oh, I thought they found your meth shack.
The meth legend. Next up is pearl necklace. While receiving head, the man withdraws his penis from the girl's mouth and comes across her neck, appearing like a pearl necklace. It's the closest you'll get when you're poor to a pearl necklace.
There's actually a song that's got that in the, that in there. From ZZ Top from the 1980s or 70s,
mm-hmm.
where it says she wants a pearl necklace.
Hey, again.
And that's what they were talking about.
Very clever. Next up is, I don't know, this is supposed to be, it says a less respectful thing. It's called cake girl. A less respectful way to refer to a lesbian.
A what?
Cake girl.
Cake?
Yeah. I'm like, huh, I don't know, okay. Hope I didn't just disparage every lesbian on the planet. But
I mean, are they trying to imply that they're fat? Like,
I don't know. Basically, they're always after pie.
Or do they want the cakes?
Like, I don't know. The more you learn, I guess.
That doesn't sound...
Reading Rainbow.
Like, that's almost like when Tosh did that one thing where, are these words offensive?
Oh, yeah. And so to the focus groups.
Are you a flubber? It's like, yes, I find that offensive. I think that's one of those type of things, though, because I can't really find anything mean about it.
Smoke socially. Someone who passes a joint with their pinky extended politely. It's got to be a joint, apparently. Next up is Alabama freckle face.
We go from that to this.
When a man and a woman are in a 69 position and she lets out a small shart, the man comes out and shit sprinkles on his face, yeah.
Oh, no.
Sometimes. Yes.
No.
He's just like. Next up is called Sassy Titty. A word describing a female, generally blonde, has a tendency to act very rude and cheeky toward good looking males. So I've never had that situation, so I guess I'm fucking dog shit looking.
It's like, I've never had this experience.
What is it like to be good looking? That's what's called an autogasm. Is when a female automatically orgasms after seeing either an attractive male, a penis, or from the bisexual, or for the bisexual and lesbians, an attractive female or vagina. Same situation. Never had this experience. Last one. I think it's the last one. Or is that? No, I got three more. So this one's called DAC. It's the portion of the skin where a male's penis dick meets his scrotum sac. Dick plus sac equals DAC. Everyone knows this one. Turd in the punch bowl is a comparative word used to describe the unpopularity of a certain person. Hopefully, I've never been called turd in the punch bowl. If you ever call me that, I will take a shit on the upper deck of your toilet.
No, what he'll do is he'll actually shit in your punch bowl. There's your turd in the punch bowl.
Blow that bitch out, I promise you.
Just splattered and leave everybody around you with a freckle face, huh?
Nothing worse than shitting and then, like, the water touches your butthole.
Oh.
I hate that feeling.
The splashback.
Yeah, I hate that. Next one is called Almond Mom. Well, last word is called Almond Mom. It is a mom who is stuck in dieting culture. The mom who projects their fears of fat phobia onto their own kids. The mom who thinks that she's doing good for the kids but is really causing trauma. This term originated from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Well, I understand raising healthy lifestyles, but when you do it to such an adverse effect.
People do overuse the word fat phobia, but there is a level of like going in the other direction too. Like where you're starting to become like anorexic.
Yeah.
Like it's not so much an issue now. That's not like the big thing because most, like now the fat phobia is the big word.
I had a cousin that was a. He was so afraid of getting fat that he would like, if I'm craving some food, he'd just eat a lemon and some salt. I'm like, God, man, just eat some fucking food.
Like, there's a very healthy medium. Like I said, I do think that people have went way too far in the other direction.
So you have a healthy medium, normal lifestyle, unhealthy medium, then you got me. That's as far as unhealthy you can get. How many Cheetos can I eat in one day?
Yeah, but you're not going around telling everybody to eat like you do. So. No. That's the biggest difference, though. There's that healthy medium of, like, yes, you need to eat food to survive and actually have functioning muscles and a body, but then there's the fat acceptance side where they're like my size or your size, telling everybody, you need to eat like us. We need to be accepted. No, I need to lose weight. I know this. I'm cool with that.
I'm trying to be a sumo wrestler, so I need more weight.
Yeah, you need to build up the muscle, too.
Nah,
it's fat on top of the muscle.
This fat is just so, they just roll off of me.
You want to be like E. Honda?
Like, they'll try to, like, tackle me, and, like, they just roll off because I'm so fat. There's no muscle on it. You just roll off.
You just go through.
Basically.
Trying to get up to Ralphie.
Or just fucking bounce off of me.
Want to be Ralphie May?
Ralphie May. That was quite the comedian.
Funny as hell.
Yeah, he was. He died of, being fat. He even said himself, like, if I died tomorrow of a heart attack, you wouldn't be shocked.
Even, Patrice O'Neill was an extremely funny comic.
A big old boy, too.
Died of diabetes.
Unfortunate.
Them beatus got him.
Yeah, damn. Well, that's it for Cozy, just for Urban Dictionary. I'm all over my fucking place.
And this is book preparation?
Well, not really.
All right, well, I guess going into our dive again this week, this is going to be part two, the ending from last week's Akame ga Kill. So last week we ended with the desperate woman as death.
Fuck.
Looking for her man, her little Tatsumi.
I'm back. My whole fucking microphone just came out of this thing.
So we have Ezdeath looking for her little man, Tatsumi, what we've got right now. So episode 13 is called Kill the Nuisances. Remember, every episode begins with the word kill.
Hell yeah.
So Honest assigns Ezdeath to track down various danger beasts, which have appeared in forests and mines. Bowles saves two merchants from being attacked by humanoid danger beasts at this point. But Wave witnesses the merchants being terrified of Bowles due to his fearsome appearance. Later, Bowles explains that despite his nice personality, he used to be an executioner and burned down many infested villages. Bowles is visited by his wife, Kiji, the daughter of Logue, who are very well aware of his line of work. While training with Susanoo, Tatsumi considers him as a companion rather than just a tool. Susanoo is the armor. The members of Night Raid are given the mission to kill humanoid danger beasts at this point, intentionally helping the Imperial Army. Because they didn't want to help the Imperial Army, but they have to take care of danger beasts, and then the Imperial Army is as well. So
okay.
They're inadvertently helping them, even though they don't want to. Meanwhile, Ezdeath and Run discuss what the human danger beasts are. Meanwhile, Ezdeath and Run discuss that the human danger beasts are a result of Dr. Stylish's human experiments.
Mr. Stylish. Favorite character.
Therefore, the humanoid danger beasts must have somehow escaped their containment. While patrolling the mountains at night, Tatsumi learns that Lubbock joined Night Raid to get closer to Najinda, though his love is unrequited. Tatsumi travels alone to the summit when...
Like unrequited love, huh?
Exactly.
Like to drive a man crazy.
Tatsumi travels alone to the summit when he accidentally encounters Ezdeath, who is shocked to see him. So she found her little Tatsumi. She's been having everybody go look for him. They found lookalikes, but never him.
That would be fucking wild. He looks kind of like him, doesn't he?
He kind of looks, a little bit like him,
I know once, this is weird, but I watched a show once about this woman that was dating three men, right?
Yeah.
At once, and they were all like in a polygamous, is that how you say it?
Relationship. Polygamous, yeah.
And they all looked exactly alike, all three guys. She had a type, and that type was just etched on each of them. I'm like, God dang.
You don't want to be part of that group?
Like, if you ever feel like you're a unique, special person, you're not. There's like 1,000 of you.
Remember, didn't they say that everybody has a doppelganger somewhere?
Yeah, like 8 of them. In this city alone, apparently. And when I kill them, I'm going to take their power and be...
You're going to be the one?
I'm going to be the one, like, Jet Li. I'm Yula. I'm nobody's bitch. You are mine.
I am Noi.
I'm nobody's bitch. That was the greatest Jet Li line he's ever delivered in anything if he's ever done. I'm nobody's bitch.
There was so much passion put into it.
But they explained to him exactly what the line meant, and he fucking dug deep down, and he fucking just delivered that.
He doesn't want to be anybody's bitch.
He did not want to be anybody's bitch.
All right, episode 14 is called Kill the Danger Beasts.
God, that kill everything, huh?
So the reunion of Tatsumi and Esdeath is cut short when Honest the son, Suria, I'm fucking up that name, I know. I can't remember how it's pronounced since the anime, so I'm sorry if I fucked it up.
No worries.
Appears to use his imperial arms, Shambhala, a pendant capable of spatial manipulation, which teleports the two of them to a remote island. So now she's got time to be alone with him on a remote island. When two modified danger beasts appear, Tatsumi and Esdeath slay each of them. After Tatsumi and Esdeath explore the island, they find out that they have been teleported by a trigram circle symbol created by Suria. Esdeath reveals that she lived by the law of survival of the fittest and became a general in the Imperial Army as a result of the Northern tribe killing her late father and her former clan of Danger Beast Hunters. So she's always been a Danger Beast Hunter. She also selected the Imperial Arms Demon's Extract, the blood of a Danger Beast, which she drank in order to create and manipulate ice, because she's got ice abilities.
How? What? She ate something and gave her ice powers?
Blood.
It's a weird way to explain it.
So when Honest's son portal reappears, Tatsumi and Esdeath pass through and return to the mountains. Tatsumi uses his incursio to hide before Esdeath has a chance of seeing him again. So as soon as they go through this portal, he's like, fucking put on the armor and hide. Because she's been looking for him, so... episode 15 is called Kill the Religious Organization.
Ah. That's very funny.
Yeah. So, Najinda, leader of the Night Raid, prepares to a strategy meeting for Night Raid after they sit down to eat. Meanwhile, Wave confronts Honest's son for murdering three thieves suspected as members of Night Raid. Najinda tells Night Raid that they will launch attacks against the Empire during an uprising caused by the Path of Peace, a pacifist religious organization. Night Raid is assigned to assassinate Bullock, the assistant to the leader of the Path of Peace, while working as an agent under Honest. Bullock has been drugging members of the Path of Peace to become his slaves and prevent them from insurrection of the Empire. The members of Night Raid have fun at the beach before carrying out this mission. Because there's always got to be that beach episode for every anime that there is. There's always a damn beach episode.
Huh.
All, like, it's a given. They have to have one.
Even Attack on Titan had one.
Yeah.
At the end of that one season where they escaped the wall.
See?
They were technically at the beach.
Yeah, I told you. Always. There's always at least one episode. The Jaegers split into two teams, in which Esdeath, Siryu, and Run head east, while Wave, Kurame, and Bowles head south. At a canyon in the south, Night Raid confronts Wave, Kurame, and Bowles. Kurame uses her Imperial Arms Yatsufusa. I actually pronounced that right. A katana that turns her victims into zombies.
And gives her a full suit of armor.
I don't know everybody gets armor. You get armor, and you get armor. Episode 16, Kill the Dolls, is the title of it. Kurame's puppets, Death Toggle, Natala, Dora, Ape Man, Hater, Wall, Rokuga, and Kaiser emerge, and the battle in the canyon begins. While Susanoo fights Death Toggle, Mine pursues Doya. Tatsumi becomes overwhelmed by Ape Man and Hunter, while Chelsea later disguises herself as a tribesman to distract and kill Hunter with a poison needle to the head. So that's a one way to go, ain't it?
Yeah. A
poisoned needle to the head.
What's the point of the poison? If you get shot clean in the fucking brain, you're already dead. I don't understand if it grazed his cheek or something.
I think it did, like where it went into his skin, but not
hitting
his head.
Okay, that makes more sense then.
Yeah.
Slowly dies instead of just like, he's poisoned. Like, imagine having a weapon that gives you poison, but it kills you instantly. Well, like let's say it does 1,000 damage, and you got 800 health. Like, what's the point then? If it's poison, I'm going to die with one shot anyway.
It's kind of like where it's like, I shot him with a poison arrow through the heart.
So, you
shot him through the heart.
Yeah.
You didn't need the poison.
Then I had to make sure he was dead.
The poison made sure that he really died. leaving Tatsumi to finish off Ape Man, while Leon and Najinda take on Rokugo, Kurame slices off Leon's left arm, forcing Najinda to kill Rokugo herself. As Akame, the main girl in this anime, combats Wool and Bowles at the same time, she tells Bowles that she joined Night Raid because she believes in her heart it to be the right path, instead of joining the Imperial side. Mine is swallowed by Kaiser Frog, but she emerges to pierce through Kaiser Frog and escape. So that's one way for him to go too, is get pierced through. Susanoo uses his trump card, transforming into an armored form gained from Najinda's life force to kill the Death T'Ghul. After Leone and Akame team up to kill Wool, Bowles uses his imperial arm, Rubicante, a powerful flamethrower. So that's his weapon of choice.
Just gives him a flamethrower?
Yeah.
Me fucking banking right now.
Since Rubicante is damaged from the battle, Bowles throws it upwards and detonates it, causing a massive explosion around him. Kind of like, Voltorb, just self-destruct. episode 17, Kill the Curse. So Akame and Leone survive the massive explosion. So it was pointless.
Fucking pointless. Remember the movie Kong Skull Island, where one of the soldiers is like, get out of here, guys. And he pulls out two grenades for the Skullwalker. He's like, I'll hold it off. And the Skullwalker hits him with his tail and throws him into a fucking mountain range, and he blows up over there. I promise you guys, go watch that. It doesn't make any fucking sense. He sacrificed his life for his fucking soldier, or his mates, I guess. What's the word? His comrades, yeah, to escape as this giant fucking skull monster is about to eat everybody. He pulls out these two grenades, one in each hand. He's like, yo, guys, I'll hold it off. And the thing fucking kicks him basically with his tail. And he just fucking goes fucking flying into a wall and blows up the side of the mountain. And I don't understand why they added that scene in the movie.
So, a little bit of comedy, maybe?
But it wasn't supposed to be comedic. It was supposed to be dramatic, because his best friend's like, no, don't do that. And they try to hold him back.
Yeah.
Like, don't kill yourself. And he's like, it's okay. And
he still dies.
And he died instantly. And I'm like, what was the point of that? I'll never forget. I wake up some nights, be like, what? But why?
That's kind of the same thing here. He blew himself up for nothing. So, Bowles meets a crying girl while walking in the woods, treating her bruised shin with a bandage. The girl is revealed to be Chelsea in disguise, and she pierces his nape with a poison needle. So she's already killed two people now with a needle. One through the head, one through the neck. The back of the neck, anyway. The nape. After Chelsea requests Lubbock to call for backup, she disguises herself as Bowles and pursues Kurame. In the past, Akame and Kurame were training together to be elite assassins. So this is a little bit of a backstory for them.
Okay.
They were both separated due to their reliance on each other, because they would train with each other, and then they started to become too reliant on each other. Kurame was experimented with various drugs to enhance her fighting prowess. In the present, so we're back again, Chelsea as Bowles, in her disguise, finds Kurame and uses this opportunity to stab her with a poison needle in her back.
Damn.
This girl's going after everybody. In the past, again, Chelsea worked as an apprentice to a viceroy who accepted bribes and hunted people for fun.
Mm. Yeah. Why is that always the end game for rich people? And now we start hunting other people. That's always their end goal.
I know. She killed the viceroy after acquiring Gaia Foundation for the first time. In the present, Kurame somehow survives the poison, ordering Natala and Doya to kill Chelsea. During a downpour, Tatsumi and Akame reach a town square, where Chelsea's severed head is displayed at the top of a pole.
Yeesh.
So, they ended up killing Chelsea.
Damn.
Her disguise didn't necessarily work very well. Episode 18 is called Kill the Demon. So, now we are back with Esdeath and the Jaegers are ordered by Honest to protect Bullock, who summons the four Rakshasa demons of the Imperial Fist Temple. Which are named Ibarra, Sten, Mez, and Suzuka, who are able to manipulate their bodies in a myriad of ways. Then Bullock sends them on the offensive. Wave is surprised by Kurame quickly recovering, but he realizes that Kurame is putting on a facade so that she can stay as a member of the Jaegers. So, the girl that was poisoned by this other girl, Chelsea, she's still alive, and she's putting on that fake, like, I can do it. Meanwhile, Night Raid members, Kyoruk and, Night Raid enters Kyoruk, the headquarters of Peace, Path of Peace.
This of Peace.
This religious group.
Okay.
Tatsumi and Mine explore the busy marketplace. At a cemetery, Akame takes on Ibarra, using Murasame to chop him into pieces at that time, her sword. In the city streets, Lubbock fights Stein and Mez using Crosstail to crush Stein's heart from the inside and to stab Mez's back with knives.
Damn.
There's a lot of assassination.
Though, yeah.
Which is the whole point. On the outskirts of town, Tatsumi and Mine quarrel as they encounter the Lord, the leader of the founder of Path of Peace. So they run into him, even though, because remember, they're supposed to kill the other guy. So, 19, kill the fate. Night Raid plans to infiltrate the palace during the anniversary festival of Path of Peace. Susanoo cooks favorite meals for members in preparation for the mission. Tatsumi and Mine wear disguises as a diversion to get out of the city undetected. But Sirio spots them and attacks them with a barrage of missiles. As Suzuka also arrives and attacks, Tatsumi averts her away from the area while Mine fights Sirio and Koro alone. With Koro being easily taken down by Mine's increased power, Tatsumi defeats Suzuka by crushing her under nearby runes.
Somebody saying with her thighs.
So, pop, pop.
Like a watermelon. That'd be wild.
So Tatsumi wins. As she destroys most of Siryu's weapons, Mine gets beaten and bruised from Siryu's lightning speed punches, nearly dying in the process. But Mine musters up her strength and uses Pumpkin to slice Sirio and Koro in half.
Jesus.
Pumpkin. That's a gun, remember?
Oh, yeah.
The gun named Pumpkin. Sirio retaliates by setting off a suicide bomb implanted in her head. As Mine is too wounded to get far away enough from the nuclear explosion, Tatsumi ends up saving her from the blast, which kills both Sirio and Koro. Meanwhile, the rest of Night Raid storms the palace. Although Ezdeath, the one that was looking for Tatsumi still, advises Bolig not to leave, he later attempts to flee, only to be killed by Akame and Lubbock. So, Akame kills him. Episode 20 is Kill the Carnage.
Jesus. I wish you would like the titles were more if he wanted to use just kill, right?
Yeah.
But like added, like, it doesn't have to be always at the beginning. Like, he can just sprinkle it in like a whole phrase or.
It's always beginning.
Just lazy writing.
We're just killing everything. Kill the carnage this time. So Wave and Run worry whenever Kurome collapses. Tatsumi and Lubbock covertly meet up with the palace maid working as a member of the resistance. At the entrance of the palace, they soon find themselves surrounded by Sirio and his elite unit. Great General Budo of the Empire appears and uses his imperial arms, Adramelic, a pair of gauntlets that generate electricity, to attack Tatsumi. Lubbock struggles as Sirio repeatedly warps himself to the ground and in midair using Shambhala. When the palace maid restrains Lubbock, she is injured by Sirio, who is blindsided whenever his right arm holding Shambhala is cut off by Lubbock.
Pie.
However, the palace maid stabs Lubbock in the back, and she pleads Sirio to let her family go before dying. Sira laughs at her death, stating he already killed her family a while ago, and teleports Lubbock into an abyss. But Lubbock uses Crosstail, his imperial arms, to pull Sirio into the abyss with him. It's like, die in the abyss. Come with me, bitch.
Dark as fuck. They already killed her family.
Lubbock kills Sira by crushing his heart from the inside, which he then sends both of them high above the palace. After Crosstail's breaks, Lubbock falls on the swords of Siru's men, being stabbed to death.
Damn.
That's how he dies. Tatsumi, after being captured by Budo, is sentenced to death by Honest. Ezdeath tells Honest to give her the honors of, to conduct the execution, because she wants to kill her little man.
What?
Let me do it.
Jesus, what? What's the point of her?
I think she's going to try to make it quick.
I don't want it at all. Quick or slow, I don't want to die.
I just don't want to die. Episode 21 is called Kill the Despair.
Oh, Jesus.
We're just killing everything still. So Akame, Leon, Mine, Majenda, and Susanoo, prepare for their mission to rescue Tatsumi. Meanwhile, Tatsumi refuses to join Ezdeath for her cause. During the execution in the Colosseum, Night Raid attacks just as Ezdeath is about to kill Tatsumi. Akame enters the palace and defeats the Imperial Police in order to retrieve Incursio, which is his armor.
But it sounds like I probably said the last episode, it sounds like a spell from Harry Potter.
Yes.
Incursio.
Living armor, almost, basically.
Love.
As Najinda and Susanoo confront Esdeath, Najinda has Susanoo using his trump card to repel any attack Esdeath throws at them. As Leon and Mine fight Budo, the general, Leon becomes paralyzed, leaving Mine to take on Budo by herself.
Damn.
Mine and Budo each channel and become and release their strongest form from their imperial arms. So he's releasing his electric gauntlets, and then she's using her cat abilities to their fullest. Mine kills and obliterates Budo, but she is left heavily wounded. Akame frees Tatsumi, who uses Incursio to save Mine from falling. Esdeath uses her trump card to freeze time and destroy Susanoo's core. But Najinda uses her trump card in retaliation to restore Susanoo.
Jesus.
So it's like, here's my trump card, no my trump card. How about hers?
Stop, you've activated my trap card.
And you've activated my counter trap.
You've activated the counter to the counter trap.
Because you can. You really can.
You activated my pot of greed.
Well, two cards for no reason.
It's just random one.
I wish I was a terrible Yu-Gi-Oh player. I just do whatever.
Pot of greed. That gives me two extra life points.
I remember whenever I was a kid where... there was a guy that he'd play or whatever all the time. He would do that shit all the time. He didn't know how to play the game at all.
So he'd be playing Pot of Greed.
I summon Dark Magician, but no sacrifices, huh?
Damn.
Okay.
Don't you need like at least two?
Yeah.
They almost seem like a waste because two for 2,500.
Yeah.
You had Blue Eyes White Dragon for $3,000 was two as well.
Yeah, and I think you could sacrifice one for Summon Skull.
Yeah.
I think he was level 6.
Or like, I actually had the Joey Wheeler deck with the time wizard,
yeah,
and the baby dragon and the millennial dragon,
yeah,
and I had I one time I had to use the whole the fucking that shit like complicated bullshit.
Yes, it is.
And
I still have that too.
I summoned Millennium Dragon.
I still have all four of the original decks.
Nice.
The Joey, the Kaiba, Yugi, and then. Who was the last one on that?
There was a fourth one?
Yeah, there was one more. I don't remember who it was, though. Damn it.
Probably the bug guys or the dinosaur guys.
Maybe.
But I know that... I
know I definitely had those other three, though.
Red Eyes Black Dragon was way weaker than Blue Eyes.
Yes.
But you had a specific card... And even with the card, though, like, it was, like, I think it was, like, 2,500, and with the card, it gave you a 400 increase to your, because it was, like, it was an equip card.
Yeah.
Like metal claws.
Yeah.
It would give you a plus 400, so it was 2,900, which is still
lower than...
But it's still, you know, for 2,900 points.
Well, you could also fuse Summon Skull and Red Eyes Black Dragon into the Black Skull Dragon, which was 3,500.
The one I remember most is when you can, that Gia, the Sky Knight or whatever... And summon
Gaia.
Yeah, and you could get like the
Curse of Dragon.
Or no, it was that weird dragon, right? Was it the
Curse of Dragon?
Yeah, that was a good combo too.
Where it's Gaia, the Dragon Champion, or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then you would fuse it, and it'd be like the winged dragon, or something, whatever it was. And I'm just like, man, it was so cool back then. Because
now it's like, oh my god.
Like, because I liked it because it was like simple complexity. Like yes. It was complex, but if you did it right and you understood the rules, you could play well.
Yeah.
Now all these fucking different like
rules. Cards. Did you know there's no? I have not seen a normal new Yu-Gi-Oh card. The ones where they call them just normal,
because
no effects, no nothing. It's just a card with attack and defense.
Yeah.
Those don't exist no more.
I miss that. I mean, like, I understand, like, because players are more like...
Yeah, it's also power creep. So, like, over time, just things start getting higher and higher and more and more and more complex.
That's what it is. It's how you just have to live with it.
That's why I remember the old G.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Back in the day was fun. That was the way I would get my fucking ass blown out. Trying to play somebody. If I had a normal deck and they had their updated deck, I would get fucking just graped.
And now watch you have Exodia in it in your first deck. It's like, I win.
And like, I pull it out like, well, you've activated my trap card. And like, wait, there's like an Exodia fucking demolition crew too?
Yeah. Probably. Remember Goblin Demolition Crew?
No, I would make a character. I was making up demolition.
They're really in the card with the...
God.
All right. Let's see here.
You move.
Alrighty.
Don't follow the rules from the show, though, because they make no fucking sense.
Yeah, they really don't.
I destroy the moon! I'm like, really, Yugi? And it's going to affect the waves!
All right, so after everybody releasing their Trump cards here.
Yeah, well, that's what got us. Yeah, that's what started it, wasn't it? It was a
Trump card.
I summoned my counter-trap.
So while Susanoo keeps Esdeath busy, Tatsumi carries Mind as the other members of the Night Raid head back to their hideout. As Tatsumi sets Mind down to rest, she confesses her feelings and kisses him before she dies.
Fuck.
Yeah, because she got killed by Esdeath. Episode 22 is called Kill the Little Sister.
I have that feeling sometimes.
So the remaining Night Raid mourns Lubbock, Mine, and Susanoo before moving on with their plan to kill Honest and end his tyranny. Wave learns that Run joined the Jaegers in order to reform the Empire, which is filled with corruption and rebellion. Run is also aware of Kurame is slowly dying. Meanwhile, Kurame sends a message to Akame, challenging her to a duel in the ruins.
You looked right at me. What was I going to say now?
You could know as soon as I said the word duel, your ears perked up.
Well, I was like, wait.
Right after talking about Trump cards. So she challenges her to a duel in the ruins of a church. Tatsumi fails to dissuade Akame, and she leaves to confront Kurame. Once there, Akame and Kurame fight as the latter expresses resentment for her being abandoned, while the former tries to explain the need to overthrow the Empire due to its corruption. When a giant robotic danger beast appears, Akame and Kurame work together to defeat it. Wave arrives to help Kurame, but Tatsumi also arrives and prevents Wave from interfering in the duel. Akame manages to stab through Kurame, finally having closure with her little sister, and Wave carries Kurame's body with him as he departs. Akame mourns her sister's death by crying into Tatsumi's arms. Elsewhere, Honest instructs the Emperor to activate the ultimate Imperial arms in order to stop the revolution. Episode 23 is called Kill the Emperor.
Well, let's just finish this.
There's one after that, too.
Let's just finish the Emperor.
So Tatsumi, Akame, Leone, and Najinda start their final mission to assassinate Honest. As Tatsumi, Akame, and Leone break into the palace, they are confronted by Run, who uses his imperial arms, Mastema, a pair of plates on his back that grow wings which doubles as weapons.
Yeah.
Leone stays behind to deal with Run, while Tatsumi and Akame reach the throne room. Under Honest's influence, the Emperor activates his imperial arms, Shiko Taser, a giant 500-foot-tall mecha.
So it's just a taser?
It's a mecha.
Just tases the shit out of people. Be off!
And causes destruction in the capital. Tatsumi tries to convince the Emperor to save his compassion for the citizens. But the Emperor becomes selfish in his cause to maintain...
I imagine, like, Emperor, what about the children? Emperor's just like, fuck, damn kid.
Wave joins Tatsumi in the battle against the Emperor. After Tatsumi manages to strike the core of Shiko Taser, he unlocks the true power of Incursio to defeat the Emperor and destroys his Shiko Taser.
I actually know that about that. The true power turned out to be friendship. The power of friendship finally beat the Emperor.
Well, that isn't how this works.
You know, if I had that right, and like they realized, like, oh, like the, like all the whole like main characters, right? Like there's like nine of them.
Yeah.
They bonded throughout the whole series. They finally fight the main bad guy, and they realize, wow, the power of friendship is what's gonna make us win. But like my version of friendship is them just jumping them at once, so it's just nine people beating the brakes. The power of friendship, that's all we needed. They just beat the shit.
The power of friendship compels you.
They just start wailing on him.
So he stops the Emperor, and Tatsumi, using his last ounce of strength to do that, from tumbling towards the citizens. So he stops the mecha from falling on people, basically.
Damn people.
And dies in the arms of Akame soon after.
Everyone's died in everyone's arms. God dang.
So the main character that we would have considered the main character, Tatsumi, from the beginning, he dies in this episode.
Damn.
Only Akame is left. Episode 24 is the title of the show. Akame got killed.
Well, so, they got killed in there.
Yeah. Only at the end now.
Yeah.
That's still the beginning.
How clever of him.
Because it's the end. So, with Tatsumi now dead, Esdeath challenges Akame to a duel. Akame is forced to unleash her trump card by poisoning herself, thereby increasing her physical abilities. Eventually, Akame wounds Ezdeath's left arm, and Ezdeath cuts it off to prevent the poison from spreading through her body. So she cuts off her own arm.
It's a brave man.
Because her little boy's dead.
Damn.
Tatsumi is dead. Like, bitch, I want to challenge you to a duel. Before Akame initiates the final strike, Ezdeath uses her trump card again to freeze time. But this does not stop Akame from dealing a fatal blow to Ezdeath. With her last effort, Ezdeath encases herself and Tatsumi in ice.
She takes
her little boy.
She runs into a pot of green.
So she takes her little boy and they freeze together.
Ace.
The body of the guy that she was looking for the entire time. Which shatters them both into pieces.
Damn.
Meanwhile, Leon corners Honest before he tries to escape the palace, intending to kill him once and for all.
Escape with all the Yu-Gi-Oh cards, legendary creatures.
Like Pegasus, just running with him.
Damn it.
However, he uses his Imperial Arms Erase Stone, a crown which can break other Imperial Arms in order to destroy Leon's Lionel. Leon punches Honest and has mercy at him even though he shoots at it repeatedly with his gun.
Mercy like Darth Vader and Mace Windu.
Please, I'm too weak.
And kills him by crushing the skull, putting an end to his corruption and tyranny. So Honest is dead now. Leon bids farewell to Akame and later dies in an alleyway.
Just in a gutter, huh? Yeah. Like a rat.
Majinda sentences the Emperor to death for corrupting the Empire, while Wave and Run pay respects to Kurame's grave. Majinda takes responsibility to help rebuild and restore the capital. Akame then parts ways with Majinda and leaves to parts unknown. So at the end, you're left with only Akame. As like the people that were doing everything. Majinda was the leader and she's still around, but like she took over the country and is the leader now, and then Akame just leaves.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah.
He's like, dude.
Because the one person that she did love, which was Tatsumi, he ended up dying.
Damn. So
she's like, or at least not necessarily love, but like the only other person besides her sister that she already killed, the only other person that she cared about.
Damn.
It's like, fine. Bye.
I'm going to be real honest with you. I thought Akame no Kill was that thing where, like, it was a chick with black hair that was, like, a high school student.
She looks like one.
And, like, they go to school and they have fights and they go back to school.
Oh.
It's not that?
No.
I was real confused.
No.
See, they have, like, a schoolgirl uniform?
Kind of, yeah.
Man, that's what threw me off.
Yeah, she kind of did, anyway. I mean, let's see here. Yeah, that girl right there.
Maybe I think about somebody else.
Maybe.
With the red streak? Is that her?
Well, it's not a red streak, but it's light on the back of her head.
Yeah, okay. I gotta think about something else then.
Yeah.
Damn. So that was her.
And you see how little Tatsumi is? The one on the...
In the far left?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Little dude with a gigantic sword.
Hey, that's me too. I'm a little dude with a gigantic sword.
All right. That's all I've got for part two of this. And we finally finished the entire series. As far as I'm aware. They may have had an OVA or something like that. But
yeah, you never know.
I'm sure there's a movie. I think there is a movie out there now that I think about it.
6,000 extra episodes somewhere.
Like One Piece?
One Piece is just One Piece. But you got your title, and that's all you need.
All right, you ready for some Reddit?
Yeah.
We got, I think, 7 stories today.
Pretty comfortable. I can never get comfortable in the fucking seat.
Never. Although it's not as bad as the last time when we did live streaming.
Yeah, that was bad.
You were very uncomfortable. This bubble fucking fell. That was funny. Funny and worth it. Alrighty, so let's see here. First one is by Osprey Guy.
Osprey Guy?
Hmm? You know what an osprey is, right?
No.
A bird.
Oh. So he just follows around the same bird?
Maybe.
Caw-caw. He's supposed to be like I'm not the crow, I'm the osprey guy. Those, like, his fucking, the crow's sidekick.
The osprey guy?
God, that'd be horrible.
So this person puts, Though I thought I was on mute, I was not. Someone was messaging me on the side asking if I could meet at a certain time. My very limited free time is on my calendar, apparently for office or whatever.
Oh, you're so fucking busy, bro. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I yell in pure frustration. Jesus Christ, check my fucking calendar. The meeting got really quiet, and I realized what happened. Just gave a little sheepish, my bad, thought I was on mute, and went silent. The person I was yelling about messaging me on the other side, and apologized, which made me feel even worse.
I hope it did.
I apologized and said it was very unprofessional. I tried to explain how I am really stressed with deadlines. I am. And I was venting, but I still feel like a total ass, which is accurate. This was a smaller group of decent people, so I don't think anyone will complain to my boss or anything like that, but just got to live with my embarrassing fuck up.
Oh, when I told the boss, I'm that guy. Especially if I don't like you.
Yeah.
I would just drop hint.
And not subtle hint either.
He's a pedophile.
Just walked by him. Just randomly. Alrighty. Let's see here. Next one is by Sexy Government.
Ah, the Sexy Government.
Don't know what government you're with.
If you've ever seen those movies of the porn star Lisa Ann, where she portrays Sarah Palin, you know exactly what he means. Nothing like, who's nailing Palin?
All right, he puts, yesterday evening during a rest day from training, a friend had messaged me asking if I'd like to join him in the gym. I was pretty beaten up from yesterday, but agreed on the condition that we'd need a pre-workout and some food pre-workout. We arrived at this amazing gym about 40 minutes from my home. They had a great range of pre- and post-workout supplements, so we decided to have a scoop of STEM workout with caffeine and non-STEM pumped pre-workout. I'm not into the gym scene, so
I don't know. He's speaking Latin to me.
Yeah, I'm fat.
I'm too fat, man. I can't see my dick. I'm too fat. Ah!
Around 30 minutes into the session, things started to get intense. I was lifting very aggressively. Over here, Roy.
Are they doing fucking or something? That's what it's. And we got really aggressive with each other.
We were both sweating profusely.
They were fucking. Are you lying to me?
It felt as if I had done several lines of cocaine. Around 1.5 hours later, I started to feel incredibly sick, shaking, hallucinating, severe anxiety, and having panic attacks.
You did have cocaine.
For the next 7 to 8 hours, I was pacing my room, sweating, crying, and very, very fucking anxious. A side note here, my penis is basically a button hidden inside of shrubbery, completely shrunk into itself.
God dang.
He just randomly had it.
Yeah, his dick size. That was random.
He's taking so many steroids. He's almost gone.
Okay, shit is just. Here's a visual for you guys. What he just mentioned, right? Go watch The Hangover Part 2, where they find some random thing. Like, it's basically Han's penis, but they don't know that. And the characters start picking it. Because it's basically just like hair all around it and like a tiny little. Skin on top of the hair, like on top of a mound.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he's talking about.
Don't do roids. That's the biggest thing. Don't do roids unless you have inches to lose. Don't do.
You got 13 inches. I can lose 5.
I finally fell asleep around 4:30 a.m. Whenever I woke up this morning, I
imagine him like before that, right? Just pacing his room like a gorilla. Fucking losing his shit.
Whenever I woke up this morning, I just felt as fucking awful. Threw up in my bathroom and laying in bed. I decided to have a proper look online at the supplements we had taken to decipher exactly what went wrong. Then I realized the scoop I had used to measure out the STEM pre-workout was a 15-gram scoop. It was meant to be a 2-gram scoop serving.
Fuck.
7 times.
Oh my God.
Meaning we had both consumed 1,600 milligrams of pure caffeine.
Jesus, no wonder he was fucking losing his shit.
But 1,600, all that much?
I don't know.
Let us take a look. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. A 12-ounce can of Red Bull has 114.
How many did they take?
1,600.
Yeah, he was fucking zooming. How many did they have?
114 milligrams.
And fucking 10 Red Bull.
Yeah.
Fucking 15 of them.
15.
God damn.
All at one.
He's just like,
I'm surprised this whole bitch
might just like blast through the fucking wall and out the fucking side of the building.
That is a gigantic amount.
The police catching them in some fucking bakery eating bread. Like we, and he's like, he just like, sir, you need to calm down. And he runs at him, and like put him down, and they fucking start blasting. Bullets start bumping off his body. Bing, bing.
Oh my God, that is a lot. Meanwhile,
he was able to fall asleep at all.
I know. Heart stopped for a minute. He didn't really sleep. His heart just stopped. Anxiety's still high. I won't be leaving the house today.
Yeah, fucking pays him back.
He's over here biting his lip and stuff.
Hockey. Oh my good Lord.
That is a lot.
There was a kid in school once that drank like 8 coffees, these like iced coffees in the vending machine we had during lunch break.
Yeah.
And he went to bed to class and he was just like, his hands would not stop shaking. He had to go to the nurse's office. He's just like,
I can't do it. I can't do it.
But losing his shit.
1,600 milligrams? And Red Bulls already have a lot, so.
I will take that much and then go straight into an orgy.
Let's do it. Just randomly vibrating anyway. You don't need any kind of thing, just vibrating.
I'll fuck everything in here.
Leave the dog alone, run.
Was the fucking police get there? It was like a crime scene. It was a knock the fuck out. They're just come out.
All right. Next one is by Peep Steals. This person puts, am I stupid?
Yeah.
Probably. I was flossing my teeth yesterday night and I realized something. My front teeth are quite long, based on the ratio compared to the ones next to them and my lips. And I make my bottom teeth basically invisible whenever I smile. Low key, like a horse.
I can't do a horse now.
My bite is good and my teeth are straight, so I figured all I needed to happen was to shorten them. A Google search revealed that it costs around $50 to $300 each tooth to get them filed down a little.
Okay. Don't do that.
I figured I could probably do it myself. I have pretty bad insomnia and got maybe 8 hours of sleep the entire week so far, so maybe I'm not in the best state of mind.
I blacked out for a second. He said he could do it himself.
Yes.
Is what I just heard.
Yes.
And then he said, am I stupid?
Yes.
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 Yes, you are.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
That shit must have fucking hurt.
Yeah. But I needed to magically become vaguely
delicious.
But I needed to magically become vaguely more good looking. So on a search from a nail filer, I went. On a search for a nail filer, I went.
God, bro.
Tested it on a fingernail. It works.
Yeah, it's a fucking nail file.
So I aligned it to the front teeth.
Oh, boy.
Both at once because I didn't want.
I wonder if like either he fucked up his teeth or he fucking did it so hard that he fucking broke the tooth or he fucking cut himself. All sorts of scenarios.
Both at once because I didn't want to have them uneven.
The big ass fucking nail file.
And I just started. And I just started going back and forth, I guess.
Started hurting my teeth.
Successfully shaved off a bit. It was going really well and already looked better, but I still wanted it a little bit shorter. Might have gotten a bit carried away. I followed off a tad more, and then my right tooth felt like it got struck by lightning.
Ow.
Super intense, weird zapping pain. I was super freaked out and went to take a close look. No blood or anything. Note my teeth are in the perfect length and a nicely square shape now. But then I went and rinsed my mouth with lukewarm water. Exact same sensation. Did I fuck up a nerve or something? Or something else?
Probably.
I try to ignore it, but even just licking at my teeth with my tongue causes a shooting, throbbing feeling in one of them. So fucking disgusting.
Oddly, also gives me a tingle in my penis.
Even worse, whenever I touch them with my finger or whatever. After you file, it's like,
Ouch. Wait, what do you mean, finger or whatever?
I don't know.
I guess he just sticks like a spoon or something.
Maybe.
Probably.
I've never had a cavity or any dental work done, so I'm not 100% sure.
How do you say you don't have a cavity? You,
Or did you mean he never had a cavity work done?
No cavity work done. Or he could maybe never have had a cavity.
Well, that's impossible.
I got four right now, so.
So he does have the cavities, is what I'm assuming.
Probably. Or at least never got them worked on, though. I could see that.
You take it from a guy that's never been to a dentist. I went to a dentist 3 years ago, starting regular dental checkups. Two cavities taken care of, fucking bagging now.
So I'm not 100% sure whether this is normal and will go away on its own or not. I can't tell anything is unusual on the outside, so it probably will. Not sure what I did wrong, because dentists probably do all the same things. Gonna try to brush them now. I didn't miss this morning.
Oh, here he's fucking kills himself.
I didn't miss this morning to see if that improves
it. I want to brush my teeth right now. Just hear him talk.
Edit number one.
Okay.
No, I literally can't. This shit is so bad, not even exaggerating, like actual electric shocks or something. Just existing in my mouth closed already aches. Learning a lot about teeth today. We'll see a dentist as soon as I can. Edit two.
Oh, God.
Been a few hours. Like a few people suggested I call a dental school close to me.
A dental school? I want an actual dentist, not a fucking student to knock my teeth out.
It's a smallish facility, and they said they don't actually, they don't do acute stuff. They can fix this shit, but not within 2 weeks. I don't know if I should wait that long, because just breathing through my mouth is unironically like the worst fucking pain I've ever felt.
Ooh, it's freaking me out.
But I can't really afford to see an actual emergency dentist, so let's hope somebody close to me does financial plans or something.
Fuck.
Edit three.
Oh, God, my man, what are you going through in life?
We picked up the Sensodyne stuff people recommended. Even touching my teeth is agonizing.
That stuff is good. Sensodyne is the best. That's what I use.
It's agonizing. So putting it on sucks so much and it stings, but hopefully that'll work. Have to work a short shift now. Very conflicted about what to do at the moment.
Just gotta go to work. There's no choice.
Edit four.
Oh, fuck. Spent going through the ringer.
Last little update, probably. I called my dad.
He's like, oh, stupid son of a bitch.
I didn't live with him and asked him to make me an appointment with a dentist because my front teeth really hurt. Didn't elaborate on why, because I'm taking this to the grave. They can't see me until Monday morning, probably going to be cheaper than an emergency visit, but I am not looking forward to the feeling of my body taking a screenshot every time my tongue or the air touches my teeth for another 3.5 days.
Ow.
Popping ibuprofen every hour, but it doesn't really do shit. Next time I get a potentially dumb idea, I think I'll think about it for a few hours before executing it, I guess.
That would be fuck. Genius. Ouch.
First comment underneath it. Your teeth have an enamel which protects them. You just destroyed every fucking thing.
Ow.
Why would you think getting a nail file to file your teeth down is...
It's human nature to try to make yourself more attractive regardless of the massive stupidity of the idea. You're looking at plastic surgery.
I mean, I've broken a wisdom tooth, and that shit does not feel good, like, at all. Like, it's the kind of pain where you lean over, and it's like, just go away. Please let the pain go away. Ibuprofen, Advil, nothing helps.
Even with the stuff they put in my, they had a needle, even though I'm afraid of needles, I took a needle to the mouth to numb the gums and everything in my tooth to get my my one cavity on my left side taken care of. And even with it on, right, you start feeling the drill. Like, I can't even imagine the pain without it.
Without anything.
I would be like, ah.
Just scream into high heaven.
Probably. Hopefully it'll knock me out.
All right, next one is by, let's see, Aritas 330. Person puts.
All right, my name's Aritas, and I got a beatus.
I got the beatus.
I got the beatus.
This person put, 6 months ago, our HR team rolled out a survey. It was a simple, score your happiness affair.
Zero.
But like most every office survey, participation is dismal. No one really saw a point. Past surveys yielding zero changes. Unsurprisingly, completion rates were low, which is how we ended up with a supervisor visit.
Fuck.
A stern-faced man in a suit. He'd probably pushing up his glasses.
Probably. Hello, my name is Stephen Heimlich. I'm here to talk to you about your office performance.
It's like, oh, shit. What did I do?
Have I killed a man or two?
And in life, yes.
Being oblivious and the first person he saw, I became his target. He inquired about the survey and if I had any part in promoting it to my colleagues. My brilliant response, a nonchalant, probably because no one cares about the survey. He just stared at me, the weight of my accidental insult hanging heavy. Awkward silence followed, after which he retreated. A few minutes later, my manager appeared, doubled over with laughter. Apparently, I had just insulted the head of my HR.
Well, fuck, what's he gonna do? Call HR?
My face flushed as I explained the misunderstanding. Little did I know, news of the disrespectful manager reached the head office.
Fuck.
Fast forward to a recent promotion opportunity. I aced the interview, but ultimately wasn't chosen. My manager, with a sympathetic smile, revealed the reason, my notoriety as the guy who snubbed the head of HR. Apparently, promoting me would cause more issues.
More issues? I would call HR. Hey, turn to there. And I said, well, how would I win? I couldn't win.
Because you call an HR.
Yeah.
He's the head of HR.
But the whole retaliatory tactic is against HR policy.
Yeah.
So you can't snub me for speaking my mind.
Like you're in an oxymoron situation.
Right. Weird.
HR, but you're not promoting. Weird. Because you insulted HR. all right. Next one is by Haunting Artichoke 830.
Okay.
I guess, you know, they ate some and then they had gas. But
probably.
It's just haunting. Person puts.
I farted so hard my grandma died.
She's like, oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. He's got the devil in him. And he fucking, she just dies.
But he oxygen deprivation.
There has to be family members that have had something like an elderly family member die.
Yeah.
And they say something real fucked up to them before they die.
I want
to
see that, though. I want to see what they say.
I want to hear hear from commenters like, what's the weirdest thing your dying family member ever said to you?
And not like sad, obviously.
Not but, right, but something like real fucked up.
Where it's like, oh.
I never did like Mexicans.
You know somebody said that. You do know somebody has said that. It could be any race to say that too. It could be another Mexican.
Be my grandpa for sure. Can't fucking stand him.
All right, this person puts, this happened last year, but having settled into a new job where I am happy, I feel like I can finally post this. I've worked for a company that has a large bin specifically for used electronics, sometimes not even used. They will throw them out. They will throw out items that are still not even opened and still in original packaging.
Fuck yeah.
After having worked at this company for 3 years, my sister dropped by to grab lunch and I showed her around the office.
Well, you hang out with your sister like actual adults and not fist fight each other all the time? Weird.
I know you couldn't do this.
I said, no, I would never. I can't even stand that dirty demon spawn.
We get to the recycling dumpster and she asks what it is and I tell her that's where we put old electronics. There is a computer mouse still unopened, and she asks if she can take it, and I tell her not a problem since it's there to be disposed of. Employees grab things from time to time if there is something good in there. She takes it. We go grab lunch. A week passes by, and I get called into a meeting with my boss and HR manager saying that they have footage of me stealing company property, and I ask them what they were talking about. They play the record of me and my sister in the bin, and she grabbed the computer mouse. Apparently, it's against company policy to take things from the electronics bin, but they usually let it slide for employees. But because I let a non-employee take something from there, it was an issue. What proceeded was my month-long HR investigation, during which time I did my job as normal, after which I was informed I was being terminated. Thankfully,
fuck.
After about 2 months of being unemployed, I found another job with better pay and better work environment, so it ended up working out after all.
That sucks.
That play.
There's a fucking mouse.
And it was in the
fucking bin. Disposed bin. Come on now. This is when policy overtakes human nature.
When policy overtakes common sense.
It's like, I gotta follow the rules. You got no choice.
Right.
Goddamn Nazis.
All right. Next one is by Burry Udmund is my alias. Person puts. Driving to get an ultrasound, my wife asked to stop for us to get some orange juice. She mentioned about having an ad for an insurance company that had some dude with a dollar on a fishing line. I do some work for an insurance company, so she said she was taking that I should take notes. I said, good idea. I'll bring a dollar on a fishing line to my next meeting. Apparently, that was such a beacon of distilled comedic imagery that she did it as spit take. Followed by laughter and vomiting in the footwell of my car.
Fuck.
After apologies and immediate forgiveness from me, she went to take another drink. When she did, when we left, she asked which car to take, and I said mine. As she was drinking, not that I knew, eyes on the road, I muttered, "Should have taken your fucking car after all." And she then said, and then she did it again.
Oh my God. That's the funniest man that's ever lived, huh?
I don't know.
Got that Richard Pryor.
Full on blast of OJ from the front window, glove compartment, floor and seat. We had to turn back for hers so that we could change. We had to turn back for her to get changed and for me to clean the car, which I did. And now I'm having, I'm sat here waiting so we can go to the bloody ultrasound. So she's still in there changing while he's writing this out.
Weird.
Just the funniest fucking person ever, apparently, you know.
Talk to him, man.
Or he's just so,
Or she is so fucking dull.
Yeah.
That even the most benign joke, she's like,
that's not really even funny, but sure.
Not at all.
Like, when you say, she was laughing about it, it's like, what? Like, oh, well. Weird. To each their own. Last one for today is by Royal Delay 2490. This person puts, if I don't drop my phone now. It's like, yeah, we don't need to see this. This person puts, so to be clear, this happened whenever I was 21, roughly 7 years ago. So, obliviously, it did not happen today.
So you're 28 now?
Or obligatory, I guess, but they put OBV.
Obligatory.
And it was hands down one of the most embarrassing, fucked up nights of my life. Sorry if it's a long story. I've tried to condense it as much as I could.
Thank you, William Shakespeare.
I was in college at the time, and one of my close friends, who went to a different college, was going to Florida for their spring break and asked if I wanted to tag along. I was a typical broke, eating ramen noodles to survive college kid and had maybe $100 to my name. Of course, it was a good idea to go on a week-long trip.
I wish I had $100 to my name.
To go on a week-long trip on the whim without money to pay for anything, so obviously I said yes. After surviving the first couple of days bumming drinks and hanging around on the beach, everyone decides that they want to go out to the bars. Fuck. I can't really bum drinks at a bar, but I have to go, so who knows, I can figure something out maybe? We walk down to the bar strip. The first one has a line of like 15 people waiting to get in, and of course, that's where everyone realizes to go. Or everyone wants to go. As we approach the entrance, I realize that there's a cover fee to get in, and it's $20.
I'm like, fuck, that's a lot already.
At this point, I've already spent like $60 on food already and had less than $50 in my account and definitely had no cash on me.
Shit.
I start to panic. Mind you, this is my friend's spring break, so I only really know him, and everyone else in our group had either just met today or the day before. I didn't want to admit that I was broke or ask for money from them. But then it was finally my turn. There were three large, intimidating bouncers at the front, equally intimidating strangers behind me. And they asked for my ID and $20 for entry. I froze, standing there, unable to put words together to explain that I was too poor to give them their money. I formed a brilliant idea. I fucking started acting deaf.
It's just standing like, Ash.
I still to this day have no idea why. I swear I have never done anything like this before.
Maybe a flight or flight response. You fight or flight. Yeah, I'll just be deaf.
I fully committed. No comic exaggeration here. I started faking sign language.
Jesus Christ.
I was tapping my ears, mouthing words, anything my idiot mind could think of to get them to let me in.
It's like those people that, They pretend that they're experts in sign language,
yeah,
during emergency situations, like a hurricane and stuff.
Yeah.
And they just stand next to the guy talking. And they do that fake stuff. Haven't they been arrested doing that?
Yes.
Good God.
They're trying to mouth words back to me to pay, and I just keep acting confused. After a few minutes of this nonsense, which is an increasingly agitated line behind me, they cave and let me in. It worked.
It worked.
Holy shit, I felt so good about it. The rush from going full anxiety meltdown to actually fooling these people to believe I was deaf was exhilarating. So, it worked once. Why not keep doing it?
Oh, God.
I used this to get free drinks. I went to the bar, did the same fake sign language, tapped my ear, and some guy next to me noticed and bought me 3 drinks in a row out of sympathy. But all good things come to an end. One of the employees must have caught me talking to my buddy because shortly after, I was confronted by one of the bouncers.
You can't hear me anyway.
Then the bartender came over, and then finally the managers.
What if it was one of those, criminal clubs?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so you can hear, huh? You won't be hearing after tonight. Busy or something.
You will be deaf. This had turned into a scene at this point, but I still committed to keep my mouth shut. Ultimately, once I had half of the staff surrounding, interrogating me, and a lot of the crowd staring, I just ran out of the bar. I went back to the hotel. Fast forward a few hours, word got back to my close friend who invited me, which of course meant his friends, people he was in college with, I had just met on this trip, heard too. They all came to the hotel, to his friends, friends were furious at me. Hotel room turned into chaos. Everyone was screaming at me. I was apologizing profusely.
I would have been like this.
You committed to everything. Well,
I will commit to being deaf to them too.
Exactly. But nobody cared. Eventually, this ended with me getting punched in the face a few times, which looking back, I definitely deserved.
For what? I'm the one that got in for free.
I called my parents crying and explained everything that had happened. Although they were mortified, they booked me a flight home the next morning. Well, it must be nice to just get booked a fucking flight, huh?
If it was me, it would be that song, like, I Walk a Lonely Road, and I just start walking home.
I walk a lonely road.
It's the only road that I've ever known.
I'm still great friends with the person who invited me, but I haven't seen any of the others since that night. Moral of the stories, don't go on a random trip you can't afford. And if you do, definitely don't be a fucking dumbass like me and act deaf to get shit for free.
Oh, come on, man. He beat the system.
I know, but he just took it. He flew too close to the sun.
Yeah. You sorry, Icarus.
But that's all the Reddit I've got today. Anything else to add before we head out?
Got punched for the face, huh?
Yeah.
How did that affect them?
Because it may have got thrown out.
I guess, but I mean, like, I would have been like, a smart man. And Bob, I understand why the bouncer would be mad.
Because
they got made a fool of. And there's one thing that dumb muscle men don't want to be made fun of is being made dumb by fun.
It's like, well, if you are one.
They don't want to be called out for being dumb.
And none of them knew sign language, so it would have been funny if they did.
I would have been like, fuck.
I know that sign language. Can't see either. Be like,
my goddamn Helen Keller, I don't know how to do nothing.
They're just dragging you along.
Fuck, that is wild. To be honest, no one wants to feel dumb anyway.
No.
And for a fact, like, I once told her, like, she's like, you guys got any helium for your balloons? I'm like, we only get helium on Thursdays. Today is Thursday. I was like, fuck. She got me.
Oh, here we go.
Quit the job on the spot. So will I quit?
Clock out.
It's embarrassing when you just kind of doing something dumb.
Luckily, I try not to.
Like, I was phased out one day, right? And this guy was talking about world events. He's like, wow, 1812, what a terrible year. I'm like, yeah, World War One. Like, World War One? I'm like, what? No. What? I'm like, fuck. I quit that job, too. On the spot. What if I did just quit every job on the spot the minute I get embarrassed? I'm at 217 jobs last year.
Just quit every time you get embarrassed. It's like,
Time to move towns again.
All right. Well, with that, we will see you guys on the next episode.